the sounds of Zool Bailey and his cello to get us ready for our visit with him coming up, as well as Sandy Fortier, who heads up the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. So enjoy, and we'll be visiting with Zool shortly. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, starting on May 24, some amazing opportunities to enjoy classics and jazz to tell you about. Zool Bailey is the festival's artistic director, a new hat for him, also director of the Sitka Summer Music Festival. We also have Sandy Fortier with us today. She's the festival's director, but I suspect that part of Sandy's job is to keep Zool Bailey in line. Right, Zool?
That's not a good way to start an interview, Rhonda.
Well, I know that that you are just always traveling all around the world and doing different things and as busy as ever, wearing so many hats. So I know that it's probably hard for you to work all of this in. Seems like this table is being set for a wonderful feast. And Sandy, I wanted to ask you about the tickets because I understand that they are now on sale and some of the events could go very quickly.
Yes, they actually we just sold out our first concert. Putting on the Ritz is sold out, but the rest of them do have tickets. But the way we're having to do the festival this year to keep everybody safe and follow COVID protocols is we're about 50% capacity at all the venues. But we decided to do two shorter concerts, so it kind of makes up for the difference. But yeah, tickets are on sale and they're going fast.
So, Zool, this year you have sort of a hybrid event where you've got a mix of the virtual and in-person. Are you excited about that, some of the opportunities that it might afford? Because I think that Midori is going to be giving a recital and a workshop.
This is the way of the future, Rhonda. This is not just an experiment. This is what we'll probably be doing and most organizations will be doing for the foreseeable future. We're able to reach so many more people. We're able to document performances to stream other times. We're able to access the community via education, as well as when we can't get certain artists from around the world. One of the luxuries about being a traveling musician, as I am, is seeing how organizations are able to traverse this pandemic. We are very lucky that we all learned a lot of tools and gathered a lot of tools to not only throughout the years, but our footprint has grown. In addition to that, we have created an educational component for visiting artists virtually to go into the schools. So we just kind of had to put a few things on hold this past year because of just the travel restrictions. But we've certainly had an amazing impact on Juno throughout the entire year. And I've been able to come up several times, as you know, to get ready for this epic week, which starts with a Kennedy Center Award winner, Midori, who's giving a special presentation for us for the first few days of our week. In addition, while she's doing that virtually, Jason Dio, the Grammy Award-winning guitarist, is coming in to play not only solo concerts for us and a new work by Pat Metheny, which he wrote for Jason, but he will be joining me in duo presentations, community engagement going to the schools, and outdoor concerts. And to top off all of that, and this is just a few days we're in, we get to celebrate the brand new recording that I have made of the Bach cello suites that I recorded during this pandemic in Mesa, Arizona. The exceptional thing about this recording is that it was recorded 175 times that of a CD. It's going to be in super audio at DSD, unlike anything anyone's ever heard before. And preparing for that recording changed my interpretation of the suites, which is what I did in Juno about 12 years ago. Amazing how long I've been coming to Juno annually, and to be now the artistic director, it's kind of like it's fate, because I know the city so well, and I admire your founder, Linda Rosenthal, so much. And I spend months a year in Alaska now. And so you asked how to keep me in line. Well, it's more how to get me out of the state, because every time I come to Alaska, I want to stay. And the festivals and things that I work for, especially Alaska, they are my priority. I really feel making a difference in communities is primary. And the only way to really do that is to have consistency and a consistent approach to being visible throughout the entire year.
I don't know how you do it. Like, you are talking to us now from your home in Texas.
Yes.
Before this conversation, you were doing a Zoom concert.
I was giving a presentation to young children in the barrio here in El Paso, Texas, and on the border into Mexico right before this. And it's an amazing time. And to be very honest, what the pandemic has made me want to do is to travel less and spend more time in the communities that I have invested so much in. And of course, that's Alaska. It's an amazing feeling, and I feel like it's going to be a renaissance, this next chapter. It's nothing to be scared about.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about, you are rolling out your new album, your Bach cello suites, and I understand that you've been scoping out the locations that you're going to perform, and one of the locations is the Klan House in the Walter Soboloff building, a beautiful cedar building. What was the sound like?
We walked in that building, and we heard the sound of the cello and the intimacy of the wood and the resonance of the space. It was as if I was sitting inside my cello. And we couldn't believe the sound, and we couldn't believe it was so perfect for this celebratory few days to celebrate the Bach cello suite. But also, this is the first time that I will have a festival where I'm the new artistic director, so I get to make it highly, highly personal. We have multiple presentations of these. Some will be playing a lot of the suites. Some of them will be playing my favorite movements of the suites. But the most important thing is that we're going to all be together and be very safe. And there'll be a lot of options for people to hear these as well in free outdoor concerts in different settings, because we, as an organization, own a carbon fiber cello now. So I'm able to go out and play by the whale all downtown, as well as Jason Dio, the wonderful guitarist. So it's going to be a very, very full week. And as Sandy said, tickets are selling very well, and partially because people are really wanting to hear live music. But we're trying to add as many events as possible, because they're going to be intimate occasions and very safe.
As someone standing in the Klan House hearing you play your cello, Sandy, tell me what it was like to hear a cello played in that room of beautiful wood.
Oh, yeah. I am the lucky one who got to test that out with him. I feel like I don't know where exactly the best spot is. It's right below the cello. And I was saying to the other person who was there that that's a $1 million seat right there. It really does feel like you're inside the cello. It just does. It's perfect for Zool to play in.
Zool, I'm curious about some of the locations for this concert, because you're going to have Jason Vio do a workshop out of a chapel by Auk Lake. So many interesting settings. Do you have settings like this in other communities that you work out of?
There is no place like Alaska. There's no place like El Paso, Texas. You know, the thing that makes these places so special is the uniqueness and the incredible fingerprint that makes them what they are. What Juno has to offer, only Juno has to offer. And one of the things that we're trying to do in this interesting week is we're trying to move people around and maybe even showcase places that even living there, they don't frequent. But the instruments that we are bringing in are very mobile. Obviously, with the use of a piano, you have to pick something that is piano friendly, and you have to get a piano. But a single guitar, or a guitar and cello, and or a solo cello, or a virtual presentation by a Kennedy Center Award winner, for us, is something that is, again, extraordinary. I am so proud of this week and getting people around, getting people together, and celebrating this next chapter.
Well, it is an interesting chapter, because Jason Vio, I'm reading the write-up that's on the Juno Arts and Classic website, that NPR has deemed him as perhaps the most precise and soulful classical guitarist of his generation.
I would say, in addition to whatever accolades he is as a musician, he is one of the coolest dudes I've met. And he loves guitar, and he loves playing all different styles. This was one of the things that was kind of the twist for me. And obviously the jazz element to Juno Jazz and Classics is so special and so singularly unique. And Jason was the perfect foil for this, because he plays world music. He plays jazz things on guitar. He plays tangos. He plays, I mean, again, from all over the globe. But when I described the canvas that is Juno Jazz and Classics, he said, "That's a dream." And I love that answer, because it's basically, he can play anything. And the fact is that when you win a Grammy like he did, I think it was 2014, he won over all instruments. He won over cellists. He won over violinists. He won over pianists. He was celebrated as the number one performer that year as a guitarist. And that says a lot. And to have him in Juno playing basically world music and taking us a tour around the world. And then, of course, as I was saying before, and I'll say it again because it's unbelievable, that we have a Kennedy Center Award honoree the day before also playing for us. We basically have the world's best that entire week. And so when you hear Jason play, you've got simply the best.
I'm curious about guitar and cello, because both of you in your repertoire have a lot of Bach. And it's very interesting, because with a cello, you can draw out sounds. Or if you play Bach on a piano, you can use the pedal to extend and make sound swell. But on a guitar, you really can't do that.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. One of the most revelatory things that I've ever had happen on how to play Bach on the cello was hearing Bach played on the guitar. When I was trying my best to figure out how to play Bach without it sounding like a cellist trying to play Bach, I realized that the issue was the bow. Because you're having to roll chords, you're having to do things with this bow that is, it's a slightly unnatural thing. Yes, we can sustain, but we can't hit chords squarely. We can't voice like a piano can. You realize Bach's instrument was the organ. So he could actually bring certain notes out in the chords, but play them solidly. Cellists have to navigate that, or navigate not being able to do that. And the moment I heard Segovia and Julian Breen and other wonderful guitarists play, and to bring out inner notes that took the ear a certain direction because the bow wasn't involved, it all of a sudden, it's as if like I was looking at the world with different colors. It's a magnificent comparison. In fact, I hope that he plays some Bach in his concerts, because then we can really hear the contrast between a bowed instrument and a plucked instrument. I think there's no more glorious instrument, of course, other than the cello, to play Bach than a guitar.
Somehow I knew you were going to say
that. That week in May, you're going to feel our presence, and we're back. So we can't wait to see everybody soon, face to face. In whatever capacity people would like to hear concerts, we will present them to you.
Well, we are just about out of time, and I just wanted to give Sandy Fortier a chance to take care of some unfinished business. Sandy, what do we need to know to take part in this?
Well, the full schedule and all the information you need is on our website, which is jazzandclassics.org, all spelled out. We have indoor, outdoor, free ticketed. We have things at Twin Lakes, down at Sandy Beach, Chapel by the Lake.
And thank you for a great afternoon, Rhonda.
All right. Thank you. It was great to chat with you. And thank you, Sandy, for helping us put this together. Appreciate it very much. Well, we are going to hear a flute sonata with Jason Viau. It's going to lead into our next interview about where to go to see three very interesting birds that have returned to Juneau.